Well, finally today to a very personal account of an unusual interaction between modern China and Australia. A searingly personal commitment, in fact, at two levels, really. First, by a Queensland woman who's given her heart and energies to abandoned, disabled and orphaned Chinese children. And then to the ABC's own Jane Hutchin, who couldn't avert her gaze and has charted this incredible saga in a new book called China Baby Love. Now, the woman in question is Gympie teacher Linda Shum, a mother and grandmother who back in 1997, in the midst of a Christian evangelical conference enthusiasm, discovered the story of China's unwanted children and their, well, their predicament. This kick-started a life change, exposing her to conditions in Chinese orphanages and then to founding her own NGO, COAT, the Chinese Orphans Assistance Team. 4 years ago, she came onto Jane's radar for her interview show One on One, and this was a story that Jane could not forget. I'll let her take up the story. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here, Geraldine.
Now, Jane, why could you simply not move on from this story? After all, lots of powerful stories cross your path.
That's true. I actually interviewed her for a news segment I was doing as opposed to One Plus One. And it was bizarre because it was right before Julia Gillard's visit to China. And I was looking for that kind of person-to-person relationship between Australia and China to tell the story. I didn't want to have a commentator on. I thought we've done a lot of that. And that very day, this half-written email pops into my inbox, and it was from a woman. I thought she was Chinese, and it talked about how she ran foster homes in this city called Jiaozuo in Henan province, which is between Beijing and Shanghai. It's a very populous, quite poor province. And she was worried that the Chinese authorities were going to take her foster kids away and put them back into the orphanage because of some tragedy that had occurred quite a long way away. And I thought, okay, is this going to turn into one of those emails where she says, please donate, you know, $100? So I Googled her and I discovered that she was real, and she had this organisation called COAT, which ran foster homes within an orphanage, which I sort of didn't really get at the time, but then I went to actually see it. And that started up this very long conversation. I did the 7-minute interview. I thought, well, she's not the most brilliant interview, but how could this woman she was a school teacher, she was about to turn 50, how could she just up sticks, visit China? She'd never been overseas before, didn't particularly like Chinese food, certainly didn't speak the language. And this started a kind of, she goes back and forth. So for example, last year, I think she was there 5 times. It started this nearly 20-year relationship whereby she would go and find things that the kids would need. And today it's a huge success story. She has a special needs school, which are quite hard to come by in China. And she still runs her foster homes at the top of this orphanage building. So, yeah, this conversation that started as a 7-minute piece really has developed into the longest interview I've ever done.
Yes, quite. And before we go any further, it does tap into your own personal backstory. And you say child abandonment tugs at your personal core. Could you just tell us quickly why?
Well, I didn't know if I really understood why until I heard the entire story of my mother's upbringing. So my mum was Eurasian. She's half Chinese, born in Shanghai. And I always knew that, you know, there had been trouble. I still don't think I fully know everything that happened, but her mum, she was the youngest of 4 kids. Her mum tragically died when she was 4, and my mum kept getting sick. And so her relatives, including her father, decided that she must be shipped off to Hong Kong, where it was apparently much healthier. The air was supposed to be healthier. And so she was almost kind of hijacked onto a boat at the age of 9 and sent to live with relatives in Hong Kong, and sadly never saw her father again because he died when she was 14. And when I heard that story and I looked at my mum, I sort of made a lot of things clear to me. Mm. But she said, never mind, the last part of my life has been exceedingly happy. So this whole issue of kids not having their parents or, you know, secrets which somehow led to them being taken away to another life really, really hurt.
Mm. Tell us about the orphanage that Linda first confronted at Jiaozuo. It's not the usual story we hear. She says it's the real China, quotes.
I think she's absolutely right because, you know, you go to Beijing and Shanghai and Guangzhou and you get the sense that they're nearly Western in a lot of ways. But Jiaozuo is a very, it's 3.5 million people, but it's like one of those Chinese cities that have sort of been built extra large for people to grow into. There isn't, I don't think there's a Starbucks. They've got a couple of McDonald's, but there's no butter in the department store. There's no sort of huge numbers of Western things. And you only ever see one, maximum two other foreigners there. One of them is Linda. And it really is a kind of a realistic China where people are not heavily exposed to what happens in the West. And every good-sized city, they call this a third-tier city, has an orphanage in China. And it normally is there because people in rural areas are the ones who often tend to abandon their children, usually because they have the least capacity to pay for things. And while there is a welfare system now, it's still not universal. So, for example, if a family, until the end of 2015, when the one-child policy was around, if their one child happened to be particularly sick or disabled, they knew the orphanage was there and they knew that child would get looked after.
Well, looked after? Question?
Well, shelter. I mean, the Chinese view of human rights is that you are given shelter, you're not starving, that is being looked after. And that was a big dilemma for me, and that was a big dilemma for Linda, because, you know, all the research shows that children who are not touched and held and given love until the age of two can really suffer adverse consequences when they get older.
But look, it's more than that. I mean, we haven't got and it's pretty hard, some of it. I mean, sometimes she saw children who'd come in who clearly were a lot of spina bifida cases.
Yeah.
Children wrapped in wet wraps placed under open windows that were cold. And quite frankly, they were designed to die.
Well, this is correct. I don't know if you remember in 1995, this huge documentary that came out. It was the time I was the China correspondent, actually, and it was called The Dying Rooms. And for the first
time,
it was Channel 4. And for the first time, I think the Western world really saw, you know, what had happened in the orphanages. There'd been no money to expand them, and people were leaving kids. One orphanage director, who I quote in the book, said that one day 14 babies were left at the gate, and they would just have to take them in. So they had to make decisions. You know, was this kid going to survive or was it not? So they triaged, I suppose, those children. And it's extremely hard to understand that. But that did even take place in the orphanage where Linda was. You know, the kids that were not well. The first six babies she ever came across on her very first visit in 1998, she thought two of them might survive. And it broke her heart 2 weeks later when she was told all six of them had died. And that's what motivated her to keep going back.
Well, there was a particular phrase, the throwaway child.
Yeah,
that
can
seems
you imagine?
To have no, I can't actually. Seems to have really sparked her fury and made her proactive. If you could remember that incident, I want to end with a nice story because I don't want people to think that it hasn't got better, but it led her to setting up this NGO of hers called COAT.
Well, they were considered throwaway children because, you know, nobody wanted them. That was the kind of mentality that the orphanage workers had. But one of the so-called throwaway children had actually arrived at the orphanage at the age of five, and he was a boy named Fu Yang. The first word Fu means lucky, believe it or not, and it's a name they used to give to all the orphans as their surname. And he arrived and he didn't have cheekbones. He was deaf. He actually had this syndrome called Treacher-Collins syndrome. And amazingly, a few years after he was at the orphanage, another NGO spotted him, had taken some photos, and he was sent to the US for reconstruction and also hearing aid and stuff like that put in. Now, he turns 26 at the end of this year. He lives in Texas, And incredibly, a week ago, he graduated in creative photography. So this is,
There's a picture of him. I mean, he has got an amazing face that's a bit of a challenge, but he's a big, strapping young man, apparently.
He's a strapping young man. He always had a good heart, would share food with all the orphans that he'd nick from the market next door. So, there is hope. There is hope.
So does she think, and do you think she's made a difference?
She's made a difference. It's probably the numbers are quite small. I've estimated between 300 and 1,000 children have been helped. But I know for a fact that those kids living in the really difficult parts of the orphanage on the first three floors have a better life and are surviving, whereas 20 years ago they would not have done that. She's taken them and given them daycare. They get regular baths. They're looked after, even though they can't necessarily talk and they can't move very well.
And what do Chinese authorities think of her?
Well, they didn't particularly like her in the beginning. They thought she was a meddling foreigner, but they also realised that she brought much-needed funds. And now she set up this fantastic special school with a library funded by the Australian Embassy in Beijing as well. And, these kids have a future. They have hope. They're not just, as some Chinese called them before, throwaway kids.
Look, it is an extraordinary tale, and she's a quite full-on lady.
She is too.
She's in your face. Like, you even say that sometimes she sort of shocks you. She'll talk about veggie kids. Like, she's an upfront Queenslander, isn't she?
She's upfront. She doesn't have much of a filter, but my, she has a good heart. Yeah, she really impressed me.
Thank you very much indeed, Jane. And I think it's an extraordinary story. Let's hope it does lead to even more changes. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jane Hutchin, and her book is China Baby Love, An Australian Grandmother's Life-Changing Mission to Help China's Orphans. A good egg, as you might say. And it's published by ABC Books.